Hey investors, Bradley here from Watson Estates, and you're listening to the largest and fastest growing podcast for Toronto real estate on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Today, we have a very special guest, Mr. Tim Hudak, who is the CEO of OREA, the Ontario Real Estate Association. Anybody who's a licensed realtor in Ontario is a member of the Ontario Real Estate Association, and they're very much a strong advocate when it comes to housing and affordability here in Ontario. To get their perspective on what the future of real estate looks like is a very big deal. And so that's why we're thrilled to have him join us today on the show to talk about what is the current state of the real estate market, what has happened over the last 12 months, and what will happen in the next 12 months as we look forward as investors here in the GTA. If and when you love this episode, please consider subscribing to our show, hit the like button, leave us a comment if you have a question for myself or for Tim, and enjoy the show. Mr. Tim Hudak, thanks for joining us on the show. How are you doing today?
Really good to see you again. I'm doing fine. It's a great day in the neighborhood, as you can see behind me here. The middle one's for sale, by the way, for any of the investors watching.
Lovely
today.
Fall weather there, too. Not a cloud in the sky.
And it's pink shirt day for me. I was in a good mood today. It's been a productive day. So when I got up this morning, I put on my cheerful shirt. And it's always good seeing you. Thanks for having me back on the podcast.
Yes, I appreciate you taking the time for our listeners. As a recap, we spoke back October last year, 2021. Very much still a relevant conversation. We talked about bringing affordability home and some of OREA's thoughts on that. Maybe just quickly, for those who maybe missed that episode, tell us what is OREA? I know that's very general and broad, but just the specifics of what you guys do day to day before we dive into what's going on in the market and OREA's thoughts and ideas of what the future looks like.
Yeah, well, that's why I carry this traveling, you know, bus advertisement here behind me. The Ontario Real Estate Association, OREA, is the member association for Ontario's now barely 93,000 realtors in a province in every city, small city or village. And our main focus is really on advocacy. You know, when my feet hit the floor this morning or any day, I'm very much focused on helping our members create the next generation of Canadian homeowners. And number two, to make sure that that realtor at your side is going to have the highest level of professional standards, ethics, and education, and a disciplinary system, if they don't, anywhere in North America. Another major function we do is our standard form. So any kind of real estate exchange, they use our standard forms. It's the common language for real estate in every corner of our province. So we provide educational materials and advice on how best to treat any tricky situation. For any kind of curveball that's thrown at you, there's a form for that. And number three, we invest in the leadership skills of our realtors. I think you'd probably, hope you'd agree. I spent 21 years in politics. I was an elected official from Niagara. And I tell you, I never saw a group more actively involved in volunteering in the grassroots of their community than Ontario realtors. You know, hockey, figure skating, the food bank, the hospital, whatever, right? So we invest in leadership skills and running board meetings, on looking at finances, on, you know, developing the way you can have an impact on your community or real estate as a whole. So there's our three things.
Yeah, and we'll mention it later in the show as well. You guys have a pretty incredible conference that's coming up at the end of this month. And so we're actually going to be putting this episode out relatively quickly after airing it. I know we were fighting back and forth on our scheduling. And so I really want to get this out because I do hope realtors and the general public really consider this a conference in understanding the future of real estate and the profession of real estate. But yeah, guys, Tim Hudak's doing a wonderful job over at OREA and advocating on behalf of realtors and consumers indirectly in helping with affordability and all the challenges we face today. And so, Tim, I really appreciate you sharing with us because I know you're well-versed in some of the challenges we're facing and maybe some things we think are challenges and maybe pay a little too much attention to and ignoring the actual issues or challenges that we're facing. So what we're going to start today, I guess to give a little bit of a roadmap, we're going to start talking about the Ontario market, what's going on, the chaos that is COVID, lockdowns, interest rate increases, inflation, all of that, where you think things are going to go, where OREA views things going and how they're steering the path there. And then I'd love to talk about disruptive tech, which I know is a big conference, a big part of the conference. What does that mean? Like what has COVID done to the industry? And really the $1 million question for some people listening to our show is, what is the role of a realtor? Like does a realtor really have a place? So this is where I want to go today. So let's just kind of set you up with an underhand pitch and say, what is the state of the current market? What's happened from your perspective in 2022 in the housing market here in the GTA ideally, but in Ontario as a whole?
Yeah. So I'm, you know, a good part of my job, I'm very fortunate, is talking to real estate leaders, whether they're in the big cities or the small towns, right? So, and then others associated with real estate. I'm actually what I'll call a medium-term optimist. I think we're going to have some turbulence in the intermediate future. But Bradley, as we head into, you know, spring, summer of 2023, I'm feeling very optimistic about where things are heading. So let me tell you why. You know, number one, there's no doubt that the increase in interest rates and the uncertainty that caused has made us come off the highs of the market in February, March. Although real estate prices still are, you know, about where they were, or slightly less than they were a year ago when you and I last chatted, right? And certainly much better than pre-COVID. But that kind of interest rate spike causes uncertainty with both buyers and sellers. And it's a bit of a Mexican standoff, right? Where some of the buyers are saying, well, maybe prices will come down a little more, so I'd wait it out. And sellers are saying, well, holy smokes, I'm not going to get what the Joneses sold the house for down the street, so maybe I'll hold off. And as a result, less inventory and exchanges. It's where we are today in this sort of a transitional market, moving from a seller's market more towards balance, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
But in the future, here's what I think is going to happen. Once we get to interest rate stability, certainty, we know that we've hit the cap, I think you're going to see a lot of demand coming back into the marketplace. And the reason for that is you've got millennials, the largest generation in Canada's history, are now at a time where they're buying homes, they're getting married, they're having kids, they're getting promoted. Number two, they've got the bank of mom and dad behind them too. That's the boomers who have are retiring as the wealthiest generation in Canadian history. God bless them. They worked hard. They saved up every buck. But as much as they love their sons and daughters, Bradley, they wouldn't mind seeing them move out of the basement and get a place of their own. So you got them backing that up as well. Immigration is going to be at the highest levels in Canada's history. The vast majority like to come to the GTHA of anywhere in Canada. And you also have a return of foreign students who tend to like to buy homes and hopefully keep their talents here in Canada. All of those demand indicators, plus a structural problem with supply, because we've not built enough homes for 20 years now, that all tells me a strong real estate market once those interest rates stabilize, likely, you know, midway through 2023. How's that? Sorry, it's a bit long, but that's my big picture.
I mean, I agree with your analysis. I think it's accurate. One of the things that I've talked about on the show tirelessly is the idea of sticky prices. Real estate seems to be sticky. I think historically you do see the real effective interest rates play out longer term. And I think we'd be ignorant to say that the reaction since February has very much been a lot psychological, and a kind of a recalibration of this new normal that is rising interest rates, which has everyone spooked. And I like your interpretation of the combination of buyers being hesitant to watch prices maybe continue to go down, sellers being kind of stuck on the prices they saw in the past. But I do wonder how much of that has to do with, a freezing that's happening where, and this is maybe a new problem that I think we're entering, and one I haven't really seen written about. I'd love to get your thoughts on it, where folks are now stuck in interest rates. Essentially, they've got rates that are 3%, even 2%. I know on our mortgage, I'm on a 2% rate, sub 2%. To move would be to forfeit that unless you've got some transferability, which that's a whole other conversation. But I think that inability to move in the sense of like, now I don't want to buy into the increased price if I can avoid it, has actually caused a bit of a freeze in the market. And I wonder if that's something that will take, 3 to 5 years to fizzle out and therefore kind of skew or delay the projections that you and I both agree the demand will be there in general. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that that's playing a role, like a real impact of higher rates rather than just this tension of buying and selling and waiting out the market?
Yeah, you're taking me back to my old economics classes. I love that stuff. I actually did my master's in economics before I got involved in politics. And there's that old expression, right, that you can lay all the economists in the world head to toe and never reach a conclusion.
I so love that. I've heard that before. That's a good one.
It's true. A good number on either side of that. I think we're in a similar spot where there's the economics, the math, and then there's the psychology. And we've talked about that already on the psychology side. I think you're making a fair point that, you know, I'm similar. Debbie and I, you know, renewed our mortgage in about October of last year. So we're in a pretty good spot. But I still think there's an opportunity to get a bit more house. When interest rates taper off and I know where we're going, I think I'd be into that marketplace. So I bet it is an impact on the margin. So you won't see the vaulting return that you might otherwise because of pent-up demand and limited supply. But I still do remain bullish for, late spring, summer, certainly into fall. I was encouraged that the most recent interest rate increase was 50 basis points, which was much more moderate than markets expected. Suspect you'll see some other smaller ones, end of the year, maybe early 2023. Who knows? But it does seem like markets are responding that we are making advances in slaying inflation. And when that happens, I do feel confident because the supply-demand mismatch, that's the biggest fundamental in increasing the number of exchanges and prices in the real estate market.
Thank you. And I love the speculating on the interest rate, at least in theory. I love that. The other aspect to this that as you're talking, I'm thinking here is who's buying, right? And I wonder if the who's buying is going to continue to shift. We saw a massive rise in investor purchases and a shrinking in first-time home buyer purchases, or at least there seemed to be like an attempt to come back in. And then all of a sudden we started having the massive interest rate increases. And I wonder what those projections will show on who will be the buyer. I think to say yes, there will be buyers, but if they are individuals who have money coming from older relatives, have we truly met the affordability crisis that many Canadians face? I think this conversation is near and dear to Aria. I'm curious, maybe we go down the affordability rabbit hole a little bit. In what ways can we protect or help folks that don't have that kind of golden purse waiting for them on the other side, or people who are able to justify a tradition, a typically low interest rate environment still and a rising cash flow? These aren't the people we need to worry about, right? It's the folks that are caught between this being pushed into the rental market in a lot of ways. What is Aria doing, or what are the thoughts on being able to give them that extra boost to get into the market one day?
You're right. Some people, some less responsible journalists love to only have, the market is skyrocketing or crashing. And they'll give the impression because prices have come down that suddenly it's more affordable. And you just pointed out it's completely the opposite. It's actually the affordability crisis has deepened. We've seen a shift now to people who are buying properties. What was it, about 23, 24%, I think, what Teranet came out with, that are people who own multiple properties. Now, that isn't like somebody hoarding 10, 15 properties. It tends to be mom-and-pop investors as the largest share. And I suspect, Bradley, we'll see that continue through 22 into 23. We're seeing first-time home buyers, the age has actually increased, as well as those who are move-up buyers. So a bit later, reinforcing your point. So what do we do about that? Struggling first-time home buyer comes from moderate means. The number one answer is supply. We just have to get more homes built that people can actually afford. And I could go on for a long time about this. I am encouraged by the recent provincial legislation that has a lot of the ideas that you and I talked about last October. It is the most comprehensive and bold pro-home ownership and pro-rental legislation that Ontario may have ever seen, certainly in my memory. Glad to get into the details on that. Number two, I do think that we need to try to level the playing field to an extent with our supply policies, sorry, our demand policies for people who come from more modest means. So, at the stress test with 2 points above right now, is that too tight of a straitjacket? Can we look at 30-year amortizations to help out first-time home buyers? One thing Aria does is we press for a land transfer tax waiver, both for the Ontario tax and the Toronto tax to help them in the market. You can means test that. There are other tools like that. You are absolutely right. If you come from a wealthy background, if your parents own a home, you can count on the bank of mom and dad, you got a shot at buying a home. But boy, if you're new to Canada or you come from modest means, it's really stacked against you right now, and it will be for some time, sadly.
I love those points that you mentioned, and I'm curious your thoughts on how would you view the stress test, the 2%. What? Because I've mentioned it on my show before as well. Where do you see that going? There's significant changes due by the end of this year. What is that going to look like, you think?
Yeah, I do. I think that they need to have either a hard cap or less of a gap, right? I would be open to either policy. But when you're putting 2 points above and you've got that rising rate right now, that is actually punishing for people who are trying to get in the marketplace that don't have a lot of capital already built up. My expectation is that federal officials are investigating this. They're seeing where the market is going right now, the success they're having inflation. But I got to think some fix, not destroying it, not eliminating it, but some structural change to soften the harshness of that stress test where we are today is being contemplated in Ottawa.
Yeah, I've seen the hints of that too. Okay, so just to go after your little carrot here, what are a couple of the big items that you saw in the provincial budget that's come out and that has you most excited? Has Aria kind of thankful that to see those details?
Number one, it's bold and it's comprehensive, and it goes after the obstacles that are standing away to new housing, which is really NIMBYism. In fact, I was on the Housing Affordability Task Force, and on the Premier Ford put me there. We heard NIMBYism barely has gone so far. It's gone to a new acronym called BANANAS. Build absolutely nothing anywhere near anybody, right?
Sounds about right. I'll buy that one.
So it effectively takes away a lot of the tools that NIMBY forces use to delay projects, to drive up their costs or get them canceled. Big check mark there. It also holds municipal councillors accountable, because municipal councillors will be vulnerable to listen to three or four NIMBYs and not care about the 100 people that don't live in their ward yet because they're not there yet. So the tactics they use, and it sets targets for municipalities. It says for all, I think it was the top 30 cities in Ontario, you have to get this many homes built by this point in time to get to the 1.5 million homes that we need over the next 10 years.
Right.
If you have the right carrots and sticks around that, let's say municipality, you know, you're out Mississauga, and Mississauga, you know, builds enough homes to meet the target, then they get the funding for that new transit system or the new arena. But if a municipality ignores it, strands their young people, can't build affordable homes, well, then their project goes to the bottom of the list. So those are the things that I'm most excited about, and I can go on in more detail. Calls out the NIMBYs and also should have a risk and reward for municipalities to hit clear targets.
Yeah. And what I'm hearing in there is it sounds like it's giving real teeth to the municipalities and cutting red tape, speeding things up. So maybe it's not an individual policy, but it's kind of a group of policy, which very much is what Aria was advocating for last year. If I were to think about that conversation, that was actually, I didn't mention, it's episode 266. If folks want to go back and listen, and we don't want to redo that, but those are very much maybe the soft things, right? Those are like, they're harder to quantify realistically. Like they say so many more metrics and it's line by line versus this broad concept of, you know, let's increase the cost of foreign ownership like that. It's a very easy calculation. In this case, it takes a lot more work and review.
It's very true. I'll give you, you know, some examples here. So sometimes these NIMBY groups will take projects to the Ontario Land Tribunal just to delay them, to drive up costs and hopefully, you know, scare the developer or the builder away. It eliminates that ability for third parties. Municipalities can do it, but not third parties. It gives the tribunal the ability to dismiss frivolous cases and assign costs, just like in a court of law. So if you bring a project, you bring forward a complaint, that's a role that can happen, but it better be serious and not frivolous just to cancel things. It allows unlimited height around major transit stations, which I think is very good. We're investing in new subways and in new GO Transit. Building up around it makes a lot of sense. And the last one here is what we call exclusionary zoning. Can I talk about that, for example?
Yeah, we'll do briefly. We talked about it on our last show, but give people a sense, I do like the concept. So yes, please.
Yeah, so you know, picture a wartime bungalow in North Toronto or in Oakville, and the owner today can knock that wartime bungalow down and build a four-story monster home. And that's the right? They save up the money, they providing for the family, God bless them. But if they try to knock it down and do a duplex or a triplex, oh, they get put through this ringer, and the lawyers descend, the costs are high, and they walk away. So this legislation would allow the replacement of those homes with two or three different opportunities, rental or hopefully ownership on those properties.
Yeah.
Great. Good for investors too.
Just a throw at you here. In the news, we've heard lately conversations about the Greenbelt. What do you guys think about the Greenbelt?
So the government is making the right move here, because we do need to have land to build the homes for our young people and new people coming to Canada. And what they did here was they took out land that was not environmentally sensitive. In fact, some of the land that they took out was already serviced, right? You know, the fact that it was put in the Greenbelt was a mistake to begin with, because they had water and sewer under the ground. I remember this because I was in the legislature when this happened, and I was pointing out some of these properties that are now released. So you take those out that are already serviced, good for housing. And in return, for every acre you take out, I think they're putting 1.5 acres back in of environmentally sensitive land, what should truly be protected for wildlife, for trees, right? For our enjoyment as parks and such. So they're improving the quantity of land that's in the Greenbelt. They're improving the quality of the land that is protected while finding room to build 50,000 new homes. So I think it was a smart move.
That's not the message you hear in the media. I like that perspective. It's a trade, right? We're trading for the damage you did earlier. We're going to fix what you did in exchange. We're also going to help the people. Interesting.
Yeah, the lines in 2007 just sort of colored them in on a map and called them Greenbelt without really looking at it was environmentally sensitive. Yeah. So this was a good move by the government. Again, I'll stress it. The amount of land protected has increased, and the quality of that land that's protected is a higher level of environmental protection.
Awesome. Okay. Conversation here, rent. I find it ironic we just capped the rent rates below inflation this year. Meanwhile, rent rates, as many expected, are going through the roof, especially in areas like the GTA and downtown Toronto. Is that a trend you think will continue? What are we maybe missing? What's going on?
6 months. So what's happening here is because people who are in rental currently can't get into the market because of the affordability crisis has deepened, as we just discussed earlier on. So they're staying in rentals, and those that are now moving into rentals are in a stiffer competition that drives up prices as well. This is an outcome of the lack of inventory, both in owned properties as well as rentals. And anytime you've got more demand than you do supply, basic economics tells you that prices go up. The good news here is the legislation we just discussed, the Build More Homes Faster Act, also has very strong things to get more rentals built, breaks in development charges for rentals, incentivizes rentals that have more bedrooms, for example. It pulls back the NIMBY forces that tend to target rentals more than they do own properties, rather, to be quite frank about it. So there are powers in there to get more supply built. That is going to be the best way to make sure you can afford it when it comes to ownership or rental. But right now, there's going to be some increases, no doubt, because we didn't build enough supply to date.
Yeah. And we've got, 2 to 3 years ahead of us on the immigration levels, which are reaching 500,000 a year. And it's just the forces in the demand side are crazy. So you say 6 months. I think it will be longer. But I do agree, at least we're on the same page, that we're going to continue to see a rising rent rates. So, okay, let's transition a little bit. I want to start talking about the real estate industry. We have a lot of real estate professionals, realtors, and parallel businesses that follow our show. Very excited about this new conference you have coming up. I know a big component. Maybe this is a good chance for you to kind of tell us a little bit about that, because I think that'll set the stage for our next little chat about disruptive tech in the industry.
Yeah, perfect. So Reality Conference, realityconference.ca off the top. This will be the best stage anywhere in Canada to get a sneak preview of where the real estate market is going and to level up your business at a time of uncertainty, right? If you want to grow your business, you're in real estate, you're an investor, during this time, you'll get the best advice possible. So I'll give you some highlights. So we're going to have CEOs of 6 of the largest real estate firms on the stage giving their view of the market, the things we just discussed, and giving their tips for how you can find opportunity in this type of marketplace. We're going to be having the top marketing officer of the year, Bozema St. John is her name. She ran some small companies for marketing called Netflix and Uber, for example. So she's going to give some perspective on the best marketing tactics to use to grow your business. On the politics and advocacy side, I mentioned President Bill Clinton is going to be on the stage. When he was president of the U.S., they had the highest rate of home ownership in United States history. So I get the opportunity to ask him, what can we learn from that to implement here to address our affordability crisis? So over 30 outstanding guest speakers. We're going to have over 40 technologies on display as well in our trade show. All of that over 2 days, November 22nd and 23rd at the Beanfield Center in Toronto. You can see it all at realityconference.ca.
Yeah. So, okay, great. And I hope you guys check out, this is available to realtors, but the general public. So you guys are able to get involved in this. So obviously we've got this component of disruptive tech. You mentioned Netflix and Uber, who better to disturb the industry than those providers. So in the real estate market, I think it's a question that I have anytime we talk about tech, this idea of the role of the realtor. You've obviously set up conversations with these folks that are going to be coming out and sharing some of the disruptive tech. What are some of the main shifts that you see are now playing out post-COVID in this new normal of the real estate industry? What are some commonalities or things that you see playing out that we should be attentive or paying attention to? And what does that mean to me as a licensed agent?
Let me get to that in a bit more detail in a second. I'll just connect it to Reality Conference as well, because the main topics that realtors are talking about every day are going to be part of our conference. So we have one called Been There, Done That for veteran real estate agents that have gone through down markets in the past through the 80s, 90s, and 2008. They're on the stage to say how they actually not only survived, but grew their business. We're actually going to be talking, Bradley, about that exact issue around technology. It's called Real Estate Tech Innovation, What's Hot, What's Not, and where we're headed by, again, real estate experts to talk in detail at a reality conference around that issue. And one really cool feature, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to have four different technologies on the stage, kind of like a bit of a dragon's den. They'll make their pitch what this means to you as a realtor or a real estate investor. And we're going to have four very successful realtor brokers on the stage to say, you know what, I'd buy that. I wouldn't have that anywhere near my company. And we'll have the audience vote. So we're tackling that issue in a major way at the reality conference as well. Happy to talk more about, you know, my personal view, but, you know, I just think that anything that's going to save time and money to me as a consumer, right, it's going to give me the information, that fire hose of information that I can go online and look at, interpret that for me, understand me, know what my wife and I talk about the kitchen table every day, and then help save time and money on my next investment. Anything in that line, I think, would be top of my list.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I could agree to that. I think COVID has very much, it is amazing to me. We had a lot of tech startups that were coming pre-COVID, and a lot came out of the Western provinces, actually. But I'm just amazed by some of the creativity that's out there, to the point where I wonder if just the sheer number of new startups and new tech companies that are kind of trying to buy that Dragon's Den, the yes vote, will actually hurt themselves. Like it's like which format is going to rise to the top. Obviously anything OREA tends to kind of wrap their arms around, and the Toronto Real Estate Board wraps their arms around, seem to do well. Is getting that buy-in, right? How do you see this tech evolution of tech playing itself out on a day-to-day as a real estate professional? You said consumers. Yeah, so we're going to benefit the consumer. What does that mean for me as a realtor when the consumer has access to more information, is able to do a lot of what people traditionally think the realtor does on their own?
It's always been an issue, right? And when you talk to some of the veterans, you know, they'll take you back to the days when everybody had to come into the office and look at that binder of pictures, yep, whatever was up on the wall. And there were people back then saying, oh my God, we can't put these things up on the internet. Nobody's going to come and use the realtor anymore. In California, the California Association of Realtors have done research on this. California, we probably would agree, you'd likely have consumers that are very advanced when it comes to adapting technology. And they found that as more technologies were available to consumers, the use of realtor actually expanded. I think went from about 80% to about 90% of transactions were using a realtor. I suspect that's because of the value of the purchase. I think realtors upped their game over that time. It's become more complex, more legalistic, and you don't want to leave money on the table. So human beings are using realtors even more than they used to, despite new technologies. But I think the type of job has shifted, right? The notion of sort of driving around with somebody and walking through 10, 12 open houses over a weekend, a thing of the past. I think that realtors who will help me get that information, anticipate even before I know what I want, and give me that information, developing the relationship, show me that you actually care, that you give a darn about me and my family, and you're there for me, not just when I'm trying to buy or sell a home, but, you know, in between. I think all of that is going to help certain types of realtors succeed and grow their businesses, and those that fall behind that don't adapt that way, I think will fade. Overall, Bradley, I remain very confident that the role of the real estate agent is going to remain very strong in what is the biggest investment and most, one of the most precious you make to average hardworking Canadians.
Well, I know I love what I do, and to be able to work with investors across the GTA is becoming more and more exciting. In fact, in some ways, the latest news has been a little bit boring. Like, it seems like it's been the same month over month compared to what we were going through during COVID. I think during times of turmoil and chaos and massive shifts and changes, I actually find that I get the most joy in some silly way in what I do and being able to work with investors who are kind of trying to get more information. So to me, that's exciting, like to be able to transcribe that, explain like what in the world is happening and what does it mean to me as an investor, but as a homeowner as well. I mean, it all plays in. I'm happy with that outcome, but
we thought, I mean, you tell me you're in the business, not me, but I just hear from other leading realtors, you know, the move to video through COVID really has become, I use the term sticky, right? Very sticky. So the notion that, you know, if my wife and I were looking, that I'd actually not get a whole spreadsheet of homes that take forever to go through, but you give me the top three or four, I can do the video tour. I love the notion of whether it's on your iPad or your phone, you know, I can actually see what the rework kitchen is going to look like, or some new furniture living room, and then order at the end of the day. And help me link up the other aspects of the transaction with mortgage and financing. Like, all of that would be very appealing to the consumer out there.
Yeah. Tim, thank you. Appreciate it, my friend. It's always good to have you on the show. You give answers. You know, you're not, I know you've got a history of politics, but I really appreciate you giving us some insight on what your honest opinion is and thoughts on what's going on in the market. It's great to get different perspectives on our show, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Riley, thanks for having me back. It's great to see you. Thank you for the outstanding advice that you give to so many followers there in the real estate business, investors, or just fans of real estate. If you want, next time I can go back to my politics roots, right, where we can play question period, where you ask me a question and I answer something else altogether different. I can do that game.
Let's
as well.
Not do that. That's how you get a surefire non-invite to the next podcast. Guys, if you enjoyed this show, if you love this conversation as much as I did, please subscribe, hit the like button, follow our show. That's Toronto's number one real estate podcast. And go ahead, support this reality conference that's coming up. It's coming up in a few short weeks. So this is your chance to jump on and get reduced ticket prices that are on their website. Just this moment, we'll have those links down below as well. Thanks again, Tim, and we'll see you next time.
See you soon. Thank you.